like to remind all participants this conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the SEI meeting on Tuesday, 4th of June, 2015. On the call today, we have James Bladel, Ray Fassett, Ron Andrews, Angie Graves, Wolf Ulrich Noben, Anne Aikmans-Khalid, Mary Wong, Amar Elsad, Jennifer Wolfs, and Ken Bao. We have apologies from Avery Doria. And from staff, we have Julie Hedman, Glenda Saint-Géry, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you. And I see Mikey has just joined the call.
Very good. Thank you very much. This is Ron Andrews, for the record. And thank you all very much for getting this on your schedule and for having another good turnout. Much appreciated. We'll pick this up under any other business, but I had asked if we could take this call again within 2 weeks of the last one just to finish up a couple of items, and then the next call will be probably at the meeting in Durban itself. But as I say, we can discuss that a little bit more. Just wanted to give you a heads up that we will not be calling on you again in 2 weeks, but rather seeing each other face-to-face there. So thank you all for coming today. I'd like to start the meeting with the statements of interest and ask if anyone has any changes to their SOIs since we've last met. Hearing none, we'll note that in the record, and we will continue then with the agenda item number 3, which is the approval of the agenda. I have to thank Julie for getting these out virtually right after our calls, so everyone has time to review these and to add any thoughts that they would like to bring to the agendas. So going forward, please feel free to do so if you have not already thought about it. But as for today's agenda, does anyone have anything they would like to add to the agenda?
Oh, Ron, this is Julie. I'm sorry if I missed it, but as any other business, did you mention that we would talk about the possible Durban meeting?
That's it. We'll pick that up then, Julie. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, then, moving along to the SCI charter revision. We had the big piece of work on our last call, and that was the discussion around full or rough consensus, and the committee came to the determination that full consensus would be appropriate, and so that has been added back into this redline version that we're seeing. I took the time to give it a read through on a clean version prior to this call, and I'm very happy to know that it's working for my part very well. For the road noise, I'm seeing in the chat, yes, indeed, I have some road noise outside my window, but I can't close that window, so I apologize from time to time when that happens. Coming back to the item at hand, the charter revision, I'd like to open the floor to any thoughts or comments with regard to where the revision stands at this point. Anne, please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. This is Anne Aikmans-Khalid with IPC, and I'm a little bit in the dark on the charter revision. I wanted to ask just the process question because, as you know, Ron, Jay Scott had resigned, and I don't know at what point his participation in this charter revision work team ended, and I personally, as you know, I was not on the last call because of my son's graduation from college, and I personally have not read this and don't know where it stands in terms of IPC participation.
Thanks, Anne. I trust that your son's graduation was a pleasant one.
Very pleasant. Thank
you.
Very
good. Congratulations. With regard to the charter itself, there was really a couple of things, and just actually, Mikey was not current or was not on the on the committee at the time, and Amir also, perhaps a few others. What happened was our SCI has been functional now for I think going on 3 years, maybe a little bit longer, And it was time, when I came on as the chair, I went back and reviewed the original charter, and there was a lot of language in there that had no relevance to where we are today. And as part of ICANN's ongoing processes, we try to keep our charters up to date, so felt it was time to give that a review. I asked a subcommittee of volunteers to take a shot at trying to clean up that language, and I understand they had a couple of calls. And what we're looking at now is the marked up version of that. And what we would like to do, or there were two key elements in there. One, removing the outdated language, and two, I brought forward a discussion of whether we should have full consensus or rough consensus in the determinations that we send back to the GNSO Council. And the committee felt that, and that was the basis of last week's work, the committee felt that it was better to stay in full consensus rather than rough consensus, and that's where we ended up the work from last week. So the document was circulated by Julie for others to review and to bring their thoughts to it. And so today's discussion, we've got about 15 or 20 minutes just to kind of discuss the various elements that are in this charter, and if anyone has any problems with any particular language or would like to see something else added in. So that's really where we're at right now. There's no, there was no nothing lost in the handover from Jay Scott to you, if I could put it in those terms.
So this draft, excuse me, just asking for the clarification, Ron, and it's Anne again with IPC. What this draft represents something that Jay Scott also participated in, except for the issue that was addressed in the last call in relation to full consensus or rough consensus?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. So has anyone had a chance to actually go through the review of this document in this last period? And if so, do you have any thoughts? If we haven't gone through it, then we might just take some time now, because we have time on our schedule to actually start to review the document. It's actually quite short, and we might start breaking up those parts. But first, I'll take a cue on just general comments or thoughts. So, Julie, would you mind just expanding that, just bringing the text, making the text a little bit larger? And we'll just look at the first section, general.
This is Julie. I can do that if I make the text bigger, the comments aren't going to show completely all over to them. I think I have unsynced it, by the way, so that people can scroll it themselves. Could somebody give that a try? Oops, now it went back.
It
so that if you want to make it larger or, you know, go down through the pages, I think you can do it yourself.
Very good. Yes, in fact, we can.
Good.
So if you go down to the bottom of the page and click on the plus sign, everyone, we can actually make this text large enough so we can read. And so if you look to the right, you'll see Jay Scott and Avery's comments and others. And this was the language here where we had, under Avery's comments, you'll see the reference to OSC and PPSC and others. And those were the elements particularly that did not have relevance to this document. So that's where we started. And you can see what's been deleted, and as it stands right now, it basically says that the Standing Committee on Improvements is responsible for reviewing and assessing the effective functioning of the GNSO procedures and working group guidelines. Its tasks include making recommendations on request for those procedures and guidelines that have been identified as presenting immediate problems, or on periodic timescale for procedures and guidelines in order to identify possible issues and or improvements to be defined by the SCI. And then finally, the SCI is also responsible for considering requests, issues related to GNSO Council processes and procedures and to working group guidelines. So that's the general preamble. Mikey, I see your hand up. Please go ahead.
Hi, all. This is Mikey. This is a massive change, but in the last line of that section, I think there's a typo. It should probably read chartered past tense by the GNSO Council. Otherwise, I don't think it makes sense.
You're referring to the last sentence in the general section that begins in red text, the SCI is?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's have a look at that. The SCI is also responsible for considering requests concerning issues related to the GNSO Council processes and procedures and to the working group guidelines that have been identified either by the GNSO Council or a group chartered, correct, by the GNSO Council as needing discussion. So there's two words, insert two related to the GNSO Council and chartered by the GNSO Council. Thank you for bringing that forward. So we'll just continue to go through this document if it's okay with everyone for the next few minutes, and then if others have comments they want to bring to the list afterwards, then please feel free to do so. We'll certainly start talking about it now. Yes, and Mary notes there's a capitalization issue on working group. So if we scroll down to the next section, working method, there was not a lot of changes in this section. As you can see, all of the deletions and additions really refer to the first section. But it comes to this paragraph that begins, the fourth paragraph down, four items that are submitted for review on request. The SCI expects to receive detailed input from the group affected by the process / operational change concerned. Such requests can be made by either the GNSO Council or a group chartered by the GNSO Council in order to have comprehensive information on the issue available to the SCI. The request should provide the following information. And it lists which group do you represent, to which rules or processes do you refer. Please outline the problems, what specific changes do you propose to address the identified problems, and do you have any additional suggestions for making the rules or processes easier to administer. One member of the group that submitted the request should already be represented in the SCI, be nominated as an observer to the SCI until the review of the issue in question has been completed. Comments or issues? Anne, I see your hand, please.
Yes, thank you. It was actually, again, just sort of a typo. In this section, it seems that it should say on the issue available to SCI. It seems to say the request should provide the following information.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. And if you would like to just wordsmith that one and post it in the chat, what you're thinking, because I agree that's kind of a clumsy statement. In order to have comprehensive information on the issue available to the SCI, it's a little clumsy, and we can certainly clean that up.
And then I think, Ron, that up in the general section, when Mikey was commenting on the last sentence,
yes,
we were actually looking for the preposition by the GNSO Council. When you say that have been identified either by the GNSO Council or a group chartered by the GNSO Council,
right,
as needing discussion, rather than
No, it's actually that I was referring to above that. In fact, it says the very first sentence, the SCI is also responsible for considering requests concerning issues related to.
To, oh, okay.
The GNSO Council processes. The word to is missing there and have been identified by either the council and then chartered.
Oh, that have been identified either.
Either by the GNSO Council.
Yeah.
It's really, right now it says by either, and that's, again, that can be corrected. Either by the GNSO Council. I think that makes sense.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, generally speaking, again, this is Anne with IPC. I just reacting first time to this document, so I don't expect to, you know, obtain any closure on IPC point of view in this particular call. When we issue the revision that will come after this call, then I'll be able to, you know, put this charter revision to the IPC. So thank you.
Exactly, Anne. Thank you very much. That's my hope, is that we can kind of go through this today all together, make sure that we're more or less satisfied so we can get out to our constituencies. And then when we convene in Durban, we can bring all of that to the table. Thank you. Mikey, I see your hand is up. Please.
Thanks, Ron. It's Mikey. I'm on the bulleted list in working method, and this is a substantive question rather than a typo. I think this is where, if you look at the deleted thing, J. Scott deleted a phrase, implemented by the OSC, and then there are four other things that were deleted, but it's squished out of this PDF, and I plead guilt. I should probably go back to the Word document and open those up. But it seems to me that this is the big change, is that we're changing our charter from being a group that was supposed to ride herd on stuff that was done during the GNSO reforms to being a permanent rules committee, if you will. I don't, you know, I'm a newbie, I'm an alternate. I don't have real strong opinions. We can run back, and I defer to those of you who've been on this the whole way, but it seems to me that this is the key point of discussion in this document. I'd sort of like to hear from those of you who've been in on this for a longer time sort of what the pros and cons are of doing that. At least as a way to record why we're doing it. Because this document transmogrifies us into something that has no sunset and yet has pretty substantial power. So that seems like a worthy topic. Thanks.
Certainly, Mikey. One correction, and that is that we don't make rules. What happens here is that when policy is established and they put that policy into action, and then it's not functioning the way it had been envisioned because of one issue or another, it then is kicked over to us to have a longer look at it. Hence, members from all of the constituencies are parties to the SCI. And our job is really, I use the example, knocking the rough edges off the wheel so it turns more smoothly. Or look at it and say, you know what, it's not such an issue that we think we need to make any changes to it. Let's just watch it. Let's put it out there on the watch list and come back and revisit it 1 year from now and see how, whether or not it kind of found its way into a proper development within the policy body. So that the most important thing to know about this SCI is that we do not make policy. What we do is we review issues that aren't that are policy issues that aren't working in practice as we had saw, as they had been seen in theory. But I'd also ask Wolf Ulrich if he might chime in a little bit, because my understanding is that the SCI is going forward now in a more permanent fashion, as much because the GNSO Council is happy to have us here doing this work. Wolf Ulrich, would you mind if I impose on you to add some thoughts to that?
Yes. Hi. Good evening. Thank you, Ron. So that's what I've heard from Mikey's question. To understand the step from the beginning of the SCI, where we have been mandated from the GNSO, the old GNSO improvements process, and through these different organizations, like the OSC and the PPSC and all the stuff which they have produced. So the mandate was coming from that time. Just look at this, how this evolves, the stuff which was produced from these groups, And if there are problems, then the SCI might be the one, the body, to solve those problems or to come up with recommendations, well, to bring the processes in line with the requirements. So right now, this time, that was a discussion before you joined, Mikey, on the SCI at this time, seemed to be outdated, since then the OSC and the PPSC in those organizations doesn't exist anymore. It's just the groups, the working groups, they are existing, and it's the GNSO itself, and these are and they are the rules, and they are the working group procedures. It was the question then, well, to polish the mandate in that way, that it is actualized, you know, gets rid of this references to the OSC and the PPSC, and that is where it comes from. So it's not a term that Warren was saying, that the SCI is now going the way, well, to interfere in the policy itself, rather than to update the mandate regarding these the processes. So that's how I see that, and that was what was discussed. If you have doubts that this is reflected in the right way here, or that you are missing that, right? I think we should be open to discuss that.
Thank you, Wolf. Just to make everyone informed, the reason I asked Wolf to speak was because he was the first chair and chaired the committee for a couple of years. He's also been a member of the GNSO Council through that period and to this day, so he has a little bit of background, more background on that. Mikey, please go ahead. I see your hand.
Well, thanks to both of you for the backgrounder. It seems to me that this is still a pretty fundamental change. You know, if you read the name of this committee, it's Standing Committee on Improvements, and I think originally that improvements that were being referred to are improvements flowing out of those committees. So improvements that in the past. And some of those improvements needed some rough edges taken off, and the original committees that created them are gone, and so it's our job to look at those improvements introduced in the past if there are problems with them. This charter is, so you might say, that the full name of that group is Standing Committee on Improvements Made During the GNSO Improvements Process.
Mikey, if I can just interrupt just to put a clarification.
Ron,
it's not
you know,
just
you
that, Mikey.
You when other people interrupt you. If you would let me finish my sentence, then you can insert yours. Is that all right?
I just wanted to point out that we're resubmitting a motion. It's one of the things on our list today that's not from the past. That's what I was
Well, I understand that, Ron, and that's part of the reason I'm concerned, because it seems to me that what we are doing with this revision is we are changing our title and changing our charter to a Standing Committee on Improving the GNSO in the future. And that's a pretty substantive change. I don't necessarily hold the view one way or the other, but one version of this charter is that we are the caboose that wraps up a process in the past. And this new version is we are the place to bring improvements to the GNSO in the future. And those are very different charters. So the words don't change very much, but the meaning changes a lot, and I'd like to have some pretty substantial discussion about the merits of that.
Thank you, Mikey. Wolf, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Mikey. Well, I think that is definitely a misunderstanding. I think so. And so because I've never approached this discussion in that way, well, to come up that the ACI should a body, well, to improve the GNSO. You know, the word improvement just came from that, from the old time, you know, when the GNSO improvements project was established, and then afterwards it was we were thinking about the name, you know, which is close to that project, because it was related to the outcome of that project, and that should stay really. So if you think, you know, you read that from the definitions here in the charter and from the charter itself and from the name of this committee, then we should really discard that, because that was not intended. The intention is still related to the outcome, to the existing GNSO structure and the rules, including PDP rules and working group rules, guideline rules, including I don't know which charters we have and else. So to improve this in the sense if there are coming up problems with that. And if we are mandated by the council or a group chartered by the council to do so. And we should stay with that. And if the wording doesn't say that, then let's discuss that how we can improve the wording. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf. Anne, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Anne with IPC. And I guess my question is about the meaning of the language of the original charter, where, you know, maybe Mikey knows, maybe others know. When we look at those two bullet points in the general category, there are a couple of phrases that kind of pop out in terms of what's the mission of SCI. The first bullet point says, on request, so trying to understand what did the GNSO mean when they were speaking about, you know, what requests that they could make. And then in the second bullet point, there's this phrase, periodic timescale. And that seems to imply some sort of, you know, ongoing review of something. And, you know, I'm probably as much at a loss in terms of, you know, lacking history with the original purpose and charter. But the periodic timescale question makes me think that there is some kind of ongoing responsibility intended. I know that folks have mentioned in the past, for example, Avery and Jay Scott and others, that after a certain period of time with respect to the adoption of the PDP manual, that there will be SCI review of that PDP manual process, and that's supposed to occur at some point in the future. And then, you know, as Ron was pointing out, there was this request recently from GNSO where, I don't know, I guess they think it's within charter to ask about resubmitting a motion. So I guess what I'm wondering is, do we want to say to GNSO, you know, we believe that these charter changes reflect, you know, your current practice, but want to point out that we're not certain that this is how you intend this group to operate.
Thanks, Anne. In fact, that has been communicated to the GNSO chair, that we are actually reviewing our charter because it's an old historic document, that we would bring it back to their attention. But in the meantime, since the implementation issues from the review have all passed, that we've been looking at now more current things, that the mandate has been maintained by the council, in fact. Ray, please go ahead.
Thank you, Ron. Ray Fassett. I'll provide what I hope is constructive perspective to Mikey's question. The origination of this group, I think, goes back to the days of the GNSO improvements as it relates to the GNSO operating procedures, which had not been updated since the days of the DNSO. So that was a task that we had to put together and update the DNSO in order to provide the GNSO a set of operating procedures in order to function as a group. That was done in, 2008? Maybe Julie can refresh my memory on the date on that one. And then because these were new operating procedures for the GNSO, never before implemented, in some ways, in many ways, not all, but most, it was not known at the time how they would actually work in practice. So the purpose of the SCI was to have as a body where those that are actually involved in the GNSO, its council members, et cetera, those involved in working groups potentially, could submit something back to the SCI for review, that a certain procedure that's in the new operating procedure, were at that time were new, they're not new now, but at the time were new, are not functioning properly or could be improved, and can you look at this? And that would be the purpose of this body. So I think, to Mikey's point, it was more of a reactive standing committee as opposed to a proactive standing committee, if I understand the distinctions here, where the SCI in and of itself in a vacuum, say, potentially could, you know, offer improvements on the GNSO operating procedures. But I think that is meant to be a scope of this standing committee, is the operating procedures themselves, any changes or modifications or reviews, periodic or otherwise, of those procedures, triggered by somebody who's actually having to work within those operating procedures, vis-a-vis the council members, want to have such a thing reviewed, and there is therefore a standing committee to take that task on versus nothing. So that's my recollection. I hope that's constructive and helpful.
Thank you very much, Ray. And in fact, Julie has responded to your question and says that the GNSO improvements process started in 2008, as you had said, and extended into 2010. Wolf, I'll let you take the floor, please.
Thank you. And thank you, Ray. You explained comprehensively what happened that time. Just to add on this point, and we had this discussion already at the beginning of the SCI, you know, two or almost 3 years ago, when we drafted the original charter. And that was about those two points on the general, the question whether the SCI should be should work on a reactive basis or on a proactive basis or both. And we had this extensive discussion about that, and we were of the opinion that time, okay, let's not exclude the active part, because it could lead to a point that the SCI could get forward and if they find out any problem with some rules, they could draw attention to that to the council and to that, but that was the thing that not to exclude. But when it came then to the implementation of this charter, so when we started really to work on that, I remember I raised this question to the committee as well, how shall we in practice act and work here? And there was the opinion that time, well, we don't like to start really proactively. Let's look at that. What's coming in to the committee from outside, from the other groups, dealing with the improved procedures that time, and if there are problems, then let's deal with that. And that was the reason, why it started really slowly, let me say, with the reset work. So at the beginning, we didn't have really many meetings and not even monthly meetings sometimes, because there was, you know, there was no experience enough from the group dealing with the procedures. And then it started, and there was a time when it came to that point that we had these biweekly meetings, because there was a lot of things to do, and that's different. So it's just the both points coming back to that. The active point is, it's not a must. It is just to be comprehensive.
Thank you, Wolf. Mikey, I'll give you the last word on this, and we'll move on to the next topic, please. Oh, you've dropped off. Are you available, Mike?
Oops, sorry, wrong phone, wrong button. There, now it should work. Thanks, all. That's very helpful. I'm going to drag us right back up to the pretty much the very top of the document, where Avery deleted the phrase recommendations provided by the various steering committees and approved by the GNSO. That, to me, is that backward-looking thing. So if there's a question or a problem that people in the working groups or in the council have that flowed out of that project, it's pretty clear to me that that belongs here, because we're the caboose that ends that process. That was deleted. And so let me give you an example. Let's say that I'm sitting here in a working group. I've actually got an issue like this that's perking along right now. I'm not ready to reveal it or act on it, but I've got an interesting puzzler that I'm working on. And let's say that it doesn't have anything to do with the work that flowed out of those committees. It's a problem that existed before the improvements, and it's not a problem in the bad sense, but a puzzle that existed before the improvements work took place, and it still exists today. Under the old charter, I would not have thought to bring that puzzle to this group, because that's outside of the scope of this group. This group is supposed to knock the rough edges off of things introduced during that project. Under this charter, it seems to me that that would be in scope, and thus this committee would last forever, because there will always be things that people want to bring forward as improvements to the process. And as I said at the top, I don't know where I stand on this, but I don't think this language makes very clear what our intent is. And so I'm going to keep chipping away on this, and I have a lot of access to Wolf Urich in Durban that this might occur over a beer or two. But I am really curious about this, and I think it's a pretty fundamental change to our charter that we should go into with our eyes open. So thanks for taking all that time for me.
Thank you, Mikey, for bringing it up, and thanks, everyone, for your input. Ray, I see your hand is up. We're really getting close on time, if you want to just make a short comment.
Yeah, just
please.
Real quick, Ray Fast, just a clarification. Isn't the first question on any matter that would come before the SCI is what operating procedure is impacted by whatever it is the issue is about? So Mikey, for example, while I can appreciate you don't want to share whatever this challenge or puzzle is, what wouldn't the has to fall under some operating procedure that is not efficiently handling this situation for you? That would be my first inclination.
If I can just quickly respond, if it falls outside of the procedures changed by the various committees, but it falls inside the PDP, if that helps.
So thank you all for this discussion. This is what I was hoping we would do, is really drill down and get this right. I think, Mikey, in just a word, I would say that, again, what we're doing here is we're trying to refine a charter that we could send to the GNSO. The council itself would determine if they want to make changes to that recommendation, if they like that recommendation, if they want to throw it out wholesale. Our job here is really just to try to update the document. So it's a good exercise and a good discussion. And with that, I'd like to ask Julie to make those small typo corrections that she did already, and if she can send that to the list, and I'd be very grateful if we can continue this discussion now over the next several weeks, so we can try to refine this as much as we can and then really address it finally in Durban. Julia, I'm sorry, I'm going to ask if, because Ken Bauer has been very graciously listening and paying attention to our conversation, but he has a period piece here that we will speak to, is the working group self-assessment, number 6. If we can take up resubmitting a motion if we have time for it after that. So if I might just turn to Ken, and he has submitted some comments and an email to you, to all of us, in fact, following our last call. And he talked specifically about the idea of adding what we'll call our survey, our self-assessment, to the working group and getting it to each working group and getting it into the charter of the working group. Ken, would you mind if I just turn to you and ask you to share a few words about that?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Ron. Can everybody hear me all right?
Very well. Thank you.
Good. I did send, at your request from the last meeting, I summarized the sort of preamble I gave you, an overview of an alternative to having a sort of one-time survey in which you might collect information about, I think the general focus of your original survey as you guys were working on it was really the documentation of the charters and the guidelines and the procedures. And as I went back and remembered my early work with this team, we had built in this idea of a self-assessment where each working group at the end of its cycle, when it started its closure procedures, would take time to develop some ideas and thoughts around the process and the collaboration. Maybe the inputs, the members, and the deliberations, the consensus, the decision-making, the products and outputs, those sorts of things were kind of in my mind when I created that idea. It didn't go anywhere at that point. It sort of just maybe went onto a back burner, and then the working team worked very diligently, and I remember this for many, many months, working on really nailing down the consensus methodology, which was very sketchy in the original draft and now is very fully laid out, as all of you know, in detail. So anyway, my thought was, instead of trying to do a survey, you know, what if we resurrected the idea of the self-assessment and every group would go through that little process at the end and collect feedback about what happened in that working group, the good, the bad, the ugly, and so forth. And that would be more of a dynamic process versus static, you know, going out and saying, well, let's go and collect up the information from all working group members who have been on a team in the last 12 months or something. And, you know, one of the problems that we saw with that when several of you from the team looked at it is, that team I worked on was, you know, 8 months ago, and I don't remember any of it or very little of it, and I can't provide any useful feedback. So whereas when you do this thing on a self-assessment basis at the end of each cycle, the information is relatively fresh. People have just finished working, and they may have some very strong ideas about what went well and what didn't. So anyway, that was what my email message basically said, and I got some feedback from Mikey, thank you, and Ron, but I didn't hear anything else. The proposition before the team was, do you like this concept, and are you guys in agreement that rather than do a survey, we should go at it this way, more of a sort of process improvement on a going forward basis rather than sort of one time, or administering a survey multiple times over the course of every 6 or 8 or 12 months, that kind of thing. And if you like the idea, then the second question would be, would you like me to try to put together a draft of a self-assessment instrument of some kind? So why don't I stop there and see if I'm on track?
Thanks, Ken. That's a great summary, and really appreciate the write-up that you sent around. I think it would be good for Julie to recirculate that, and I'm seeing Aubrey is giving you a thumbs up on that idea. So in any case, I think that the idea of creating a working group self-assessment template sounds like a very good one to me. And unless anyone on the committee has any problem with your going forward and actually preparing a draft of that, then I would like to encourage that. Thoughts from the members? I see Mikey is giving a thumbs up on that one. We had seen earlier from Aubrey. Anyone opposed or have any reason not to have Ken go forward with this? Looks like the committee is looking forward to giving you some work, Mr. Bauer.
That's wonderful. I don't mean to prejudice your decision or a conclusion about that, but I did start thinking about it this morning. I wanted to kind of I had a sense that maybe you were going to go for this based on the feedback I had received. And so I've kind of started thinking about how this might go, and I've gone back and reread the guidelines and the charter templates and other things, and so I'm actually off the dime, as it were.
Excellent. Very good. So if you can start pulling that together, Ken, and then are you, just for interest's sake, will you be in Durban?
That's not on the current plan, no.
Okay. So the reason I asked the question then, if that's the case, perhaps we can all get on the list and kind of work with Ken on this document, so that he is not having to get up at some ungodly hour to get on the phone with us when we have our meeting in Durban. So
Ron,
if anybody else has any thoughts, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me just interject. It is not a problem for me to get up at an ungodly hour to be with you. I've done it before, and that's not much of an imposition. So please don't be shy about asking that for that. ICANN is a long-term client, and I enjoy working on these problems, and I'm happy to make whatever concessions need to be made in order to keep the process moving forward.
Very gracious. Thank you very much. Anyone else have some thoughts or questions with regard to Ken's activity? All right. Hearing none. Thank you very much, Ken. Thank you for that. And as I say, I would still recommend that, as Ken posts, if we could all please bring forward our comments and try to work through this as much as we can during this point. That takes us to, it's 8 minutes before we're to finish, and we have the discussion about resubmitting a motion, number 5. So this has been out for some time, and I understand that the IP constituency and their registrar constituency have now approved this document, but there were some exceptions, and perhaps I could let Anne speak first and then James just to clarify what those are and for the committee's benefit. Thank you. So Anne?
Yes, thank you, Ron. It's Anne with IPC, and after our meeting in Beijing, there was a full meeting of the IPC, and they looked at the document and they considered the options. And I think, as you know, Jay Scott had actually urged no change whatsoever and had wanted to go with sort of the discretion of the chair. But after a full discussion within IPC in Beijing, the IPC agreed to endorse 2 of the 4 high-level criteria contained in option 2, And those were the first two criteria, provide the reasoning to justify the resubmission, complete no later than the deadline for submitting a motion 8 days prior to the next GNSO council meeting, and publish the text, 8 days prior. So that was the IPC position. There was discussion of items 3 and 4 in the high-level criteria, and those were rejected by the full IPC.
Thank you, Anne. And James?
Hi, Ron. Thank you. James Bladel speaking for the transcript. So as I mentioned in the email, and I don't think I have much to add beyond that message, Jennifer and I posted the options along with kind of some context introductory comments to the Registrar Stakeholder Group mailing list, and it was a fairly healthy discussion with a lot of agreements and plus one following on from various registrars. But I think in general where we came down was a strong, in fact, unanimous support for option two. A couple of registrars noted that item 2.4 was could be considered redundant if item 2.1 and 2.2 and 2.3 were strictly observed as far as criteria or thresholds that needed to be established. The one new item that was introduced by registrars, I believe, was this concept that a motion would have to be limited in terms of how frequently it could be reintroduced, so that there would be some minimum time frame for it could be reintroduced, or some minimum or some maximum number of instances within a time frame that a motion could be reintroduced, either permanently or on a recurring process. And that's something I don't know that our group, I'm not sure if we discussed it and I missed it on one of the calls I wasn't able to attend, or if it hasn't been discussed at all. But it is something that I think registrars wanted to see as a additional protection against any, zombie-type motion that just wouldn't ever go away and would just be continuously reintroduced on a recurring basis. I'm not sure that is likely, but it is possible with the current criteria. So that was, in general, the feedback from registrars. And as I said, they were very, very strongly in support of option two, particularly option 2.1 through 2.3.
Thanks, James. Thank you very much. I think that when you posted that, the idea of making sure that there's no zombie motions, I like the term. I think that is a very strong statement. Aubrey also, I think, responded to that on the list. So I think then what I'd like to do is, we're coming up close to the hour now, rather than going into it deeply here, I think that for my understanding, and please, members of the committee, weigh in and correct me where I'm wrong, is that we now have all of the constituencies have weighed in, and for the most part, everyone is in agreement on the option two, and certainly on one and two. The question is if anyone feels very strongly that we need to keep three and four in place. And so that's the discussion we will pick up on our next call, our next meeting. Do we need three or four included in two? And if so, what's the argument for that? As well as the question of how many times this can happen, the so-called zombie. So we'll pick that up from there. James, please go ahead.
Hi, sorry, Ron. Just for clarification, we're saying that we would discuss this at our next face-to-face meeting in Durban, or you would like us to continue this discussion on the list? I'm sorry I wasn't clear on that.
No, I wasn't clear on that. And for my part, I'm always happy to see things discussed on the list because it helps for people to think and consider and move their views further forward in terms of consensus. So absolutely that can happen on the list, but my point here is that we would like to get it completed at the next meeting, which will be the face-to-face in Durban. And actually, speaking to that, that would move me now to the any other business, and then that comes up the discussion about our Durban meeting. And Before I go there, I think that generally the committee felt that meeting once a month was enough, and I don't think anyone's in disagreement with not having or with having less meetings in their lives. So that I think that's the way we'll go forward, meeting once a month. And now, because Durban falls just a week or two after, in fact, 1 week after what would be our next call, I'm going to recommend that we have the meeting in Durban. I have asked for a meeting room, and perhaps Julia or Julie might be able to shed some light on that. The time I had requested was as late in the day on Sunday, the day before the meeting begins, with the consideration that most people will be flying in on the weekend for preliminary meetings, or certainly trying to get in for the Monday start, which would perhaps put them in, as many of us as possible, in Durban at the same time. So Julie, could I ask you to, Julia, to respond to that, vis-a-vis the meeting room and time?
This is Julie Hedlund. I actually will defer to the secretariats on that. The request did go to the secretariats, and that's Julia and Glenn and Natalie. That Glenn in particular is working on fitting that in with, within the context of all the various GNSO meetings of that request. But Julia, if you have anything you'd like to add, that would be.
Hi. Hello?
Julia?
Yes, hello, this is Julia. I don't have anything to add, but I don't know if Glenn can hear us because I know she's on the call. But we would get back to you very quickly about this.
Hello, Ron.
Yes, Glenn. Please, Glenn, go ahead.
Thank you very much. Sorry, I was on mute and I couldn't get off quickly. Ron, it's fine. I can put in a meeting for you on Sunday afternoon, as I saw from some of the emails. As we had in Beijing, would the time, say, 5 to 6 or 4 to 6 work for you?
Let's go 4 to 6. We ran out of time in Beijing, and hopefully we won't. If we have a slot that gives us enough time, we might finish early. That would be ideal, but I'd rather not to jump out of run out of time again, if possible.
Okay, so we'll make it 4 to 6. May I also just remind you that at the 4 to 6 time, well, Ulrich is probably on the call too, so he knows about it. There is a CST meeting planned. So that will be opposite yours.
Yes.
All right. I see Wolf Ulrich and Mikey's hands up. So Mikey, please go forward, and then Wolf, you'll follow Mikey.
Okay.
This is Mikey. I'll bet Wolf is going to say the same thing, and it was just mentioned that we have a conflicting meeting, and then I just noted in the chat that this is not a meeting that has to happen in Durban. It would actually be better for several reasons to have it in the regular rotation on the phone. That way we'd have Ken with us in real time, not shifted 6 hours, and it would take time pressure off of what, at least for most of us, I think is already a crushed schedule in Durban. So, again, I'm a newbie, and I'm not sure that I've got any pull, but, boy, I think it would be great not to have a meeting in Durban. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Well, I would just join Mikey because we have this problem. We tried. Well, I'm responsible for the GNSO schedule in Durban, and we tried, well, to clear the time between from 4 onwards on Sunday afternoon, well, to have it available for separate stakeholder group meetings, which shall happen that time. So I wonder whether other stakeholder groups besides CCSG are planning, well, to have meetings there, maybe, and then we may have problems within the SCI, well, to get the members available.
Thank you, Wolf. Anne, please.
Thank you. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going going to be able to attend the meeting in Durban, but I did want to remark that I thought it was extremely helpful when the group was able to meet in person, and I would for sure make a strong effort to, you know, participate by phone if a Durban meeting is set up that I can call, you know, set my alarm and call in for or whatever is needed. I wonder if the issue is not so much, you know, whether or not this group should meet in Durban, because I do think it greatly improves cooperation in the group if people can see each other and talk to each other in the same room, but more so the particular time that's chosen.
Thanks, Anne. So we're now past our time, so I'm going to bring this discussion to an end. I'm going to ask if Julia, together can coordinate just a quick poll for us as an entire committee to make this decision whether we meet or not. I also feel it's a value to actually look people in the eye and get a chance to meet the committee members a little more personally. But I do understand the pressures, and I too have as many pressures as the others are being mentioned, so I can't disagree with them in any way. Perhaps if we could get this poll done quickly and then see if Glenn might be able to find a time that would be more efficient for the members, that would be great. And obviously if we can't, then what we would end up doing is having our call 1 week prior to the Durban meeting. So, Julie, please go ahead.
Yeah, just quickly, I can say from experience, and I think others here who there won't be a time to schedule the call that is not conflicting. That's just not possible given the short time frame. So I'll do a poll, but people should keep in mind that if we have a meeting in Durban, it will conflict with something that someone wants to do.
Thank you. All right. So with that, then, we will now draw this call to a close. I would like to thank everyone, for, as always, for the valuable contributions. And we will, during the course of the next few days, sort out whether or not we will see each other face-to-face in Durban at a meeting. And certainly for those that are attending, we will see each other face-to-face. So with that, thank you all very much for attending, and we can bring this call to a close.